what she's got on her heart. And so I just wanted to say, Joe, we're excited for what you're going to say, and we're excited that your first time preaching is with us today. Awesome. You're on.
Well, I did make the mistake of having a look when Pete sent through an email of who else might have been on the team, and saw that there was Pastor Don Zonzi, very experienced, and Dr. Jennifer Turner, and Pete Extraordinaire. And I must admit, I just went, oh, okay, what am I going to put after my name if I have to put something? And the first thing that possibly might have fit was maybe domestic goddess, I don't know, but I don't even wash my sheets every month, so that just totally cancelled that one out. So just stand here as Joe, hopefully, and trusting to being led by God this morning in what we have to say. So that's where we come from. So today we're going to continue and we're going to conclude the series that we've been doing on the Holy Spirit. And if you've been here for the last 3 weeks, you would have heard about who this Holy Spirit is and how he has an impact on our lives. So we're going to just finish that off this morning with the whole area of prayer. So to start with, I just want to do a quick survey. Who has ever been to the theatre? And by the theatre, I mean there's a stage, there's actors, people on the stage doing acting things. So we've been to the theatre, okay. And maybe some of you have even been on the stage and been a part of a theatre production. Anybody done that? I mean, I know I did in school. And if you couldn't raise your hand to that, maybe you've heard of Shakespeare. Yep, so we can continue on. We're all on the same page. That's good. But one of the main features of the theatre is that there are characters. And the characters are rich, aren't they? And we know that the actors have probably spent many months, many weeks trying to understand the character that they're about to play. By the time they get on stage, they would know their traits. They would know everything about their personality. They would know the weaknesses that are in their character. They would know the intentions behind what the character is going to do on the stage. They have a full understanding of the character and they have a full understanding of the role of their character in the performance. Now this week I had to take on a new role. I went to Woodvale High School canteen and that was scary. 1,800 students. And the first person I met as I walked in was the Noodle Nazi. And I call her that, it is a bit of an unfortunate title, but she looked severe and she was standing over a wok, like the biggest wok I've ever seen, and there were noodles and she was stirring furiously and she hardly even turned to say, hi, I'm such and such. But I knew from the moment I stepped into the canteen that this lady knew what she was doing. She was in charge, she had a role, and she knew what needed to be done to get all these meals made. So I knew that she was in control and I was the pleb. And the first job that she gave me, I tell you what, it was frightening. I had to put pizza scrolls into paper bags and I had to fold them to such a point that there was no air in these bags. And she very clearly said to me, if there is air in these bags, this will not be good for the pizza scrolls. When they go into the microwave for recess time, this will be very bad. So I did this with quite a lot of fear. But, you know, I sort of thought, would our high school come to a standstill over these pizza scrolls if I do not get it right? So I carried out my role very thoroughly. And when she saw that I could actually do this, she promoted me to fruit salad. So that was my highlight for the week. It was good. But I knew my role. I knew that Noodle Nazi was in charge and I was a pleb. And we worked very successfully together to feed Woodvale High. Now, in our scripture today, we have three main characters that we're going to look at. Three main characters in the area of prayer. And I want us to just have an understanding, before we get into the scripture, of who these characters are at their core. Who are they? What do they stand for? What are some of their weaknesses and strengths? So the first main character that we have today is us. Brace yourself. Because it's a little bit ugly. The Bible talks a lot about us. And what by us, I mean the human heart. Us as human beings. Let me just give you a few scriptures that at a snapshot tell us this is who we are at our core. I'm not going to give all the references. If you want to know them later for any reason, I have them all here. The heart, our heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. This is not looking good, is it? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. So a lot of the things we think are really not worth much at all, are they? They're just a breath. So from this snapshot of this character, and there are so many more verses that actually talk about our hearts and how deceptive and sinful they are, we get a picture of who we are at our core. We're unreliable. We're not faithful. We're sinful. We're quite selfish. And at our core, our natural is to have thoughts that are evil. Right, so we need some encouragement. Let's go to the opposite end and let's talk about another of the main characters that we have today. So we've got us and we've got God. Let's hear a snapshot. And I say a snapshot because we can't do God justice, can we, with a few quick verses. But let's just get an idea of God's character. God is light. There is no darkness in him. His understanding is unsearchable. So no matter how hard we search, we will never find the end of God's understanding. It is so beyond what we could even imagine. Every word of God proves true. The words of the Lord are pure words. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Now I can guarantee that I will be different in an hour when you meet me out at coffee. Maybe not an hour, don't panic. But I will be different. I will not be the same because my heart deceives me. But God is the same continually. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father. And there is no variation or shadow of change in him. He is who he is, who he is, and nothing changes that. Nothing. And then we get this very poignant verse in Isaiah where God speaks to us, and this is what he says, and we need to understand this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not mine. This is our two characters, us and God, and we are not him. And we can never be like him because we are so different. There's a snapshot. And we know that this void is so great. And we understand, sitting here today, that this is why we needed Jesus. That he came to fill that void. Where we could never reach the Father stepped in and said, well, I'm going to reach you. And we have this beautiful verse in Numbers where it says that the Lord is slow to anger. He is rich in faithful love. He is forgiving wrongdoing and rebellion. So there is some hope for us in this polar opposite to God down here. Now the third character that we have today is the Holy Spirit. Let's hear what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. We know a little bit already from what we've heard from the last 4 weeks, but let's just recap. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, who only sends good and perfect gifts, we just read that, didn't we? He will teach them all things. So he's a helper, he's a teacher. We know that where the Spirit is, this is what is present. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control. And then we hear that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow, someone who lives in a temple. This character must be a very important, wonderful character. And to think that he would come and live in our hearts. And then in Isaiah, we hear about the Spirit resting upon us. Isn't that beautiful? Resting upon us. The Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge. And then we know that where the Spirit is, there is freedom. So we have a snapshot of this character as well. Now we know that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. So he is an equal standing, and Pete talked about this a few weeks ago, equal standing with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have this character who has all the wisdom and all the knowledge of God the Father, but then we hear these beautiful comfort words associated with the Holy Spirit as well, and we get a sense that this character is an intimate character. So we see here that we've got these three main characters, and we know that the void between us and God is so great, and we know though that we've been connected through Jesus Christ, who came to cover our sins, so God sees Jesus, not Joanne anymore. But then we are also connected within this void by the Holy Spirit, who helps us overcome our sin. So Jesus came and overcame and covered our sin, and the Holy Spirit helps us to continually overcome our sin here on earth. Right, let's go to the scriptures. Now we're going to turn to Romans. Romans 8, if you have your Bibles. Now I don't have any of Pete's fancy little ways of finding Romans. I know it's in the back half, but if you're like me, I usually do the whole finger scroll through the whole Bible and hope the person behind me hasn't seen that, but that's okay. So find the scripture, Romans 8, we're going to start at verse 22. And most of the teaching out of the last few weeks has been from Romans 8. And now we come to the end. Starting from verse 22. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For it's in this hope that we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, now here's where our characters come into play. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We, second character, we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he, the Father God, who searches our hearts, he knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's us, in accordance with God's will. And that is what we're going to flesh out this morning, the end of that passage. And from the immediate thing I get from that passage, that it confirms in my heart that this age that we live in, this life that we live in, is difficult. It's hard. The verses before what we've just read talk about creation groaning because of its decay. It was never originally created to die and come into decay. It was created for beauty. And now, because we have brought sin into the world, now it suffers as a result of that, and we also suffer as a result of that. And in this passage, it talks about the first fruits, that when we acknowledge God in our lives, he gives us the first fruits of his goodness, a taste of everything that is good. But this world is still difficult, and we live with this tension, and it's a constant tension, that we've got a taste of this wonderful character God and all his goodness, but yet we're living lives that are still governed a lot by our sinful nature at our core. We struggle with that. We live in a life where we have bodies that, just like creation, are decaying. We live with the struggles of temptation. We live with the struggle that we live in a world that is ultimately sinful. So even though we have a taste of the first fruit, we live with the tension of we're not going to receive that full, glorious body and life with Jesus until he eventually returns. And I don't know about you, but sometimes this reality makes me feel really weary. Does anybody else feel weary? I wonder if some of us are weary. Some of us might be physically weary sitting here this morning. Some of us might be emotionally weary here today. Some of us might be mentally exhausted. Some of us might be living with strain because of our circumstances. Some of us might be being tortured or persecuted by something outside of ourselves. We sit here with weary bodies, don't we? And this weariness actually sometimes brings us to the absolute end of ourselves. And this morning I want to say that that is actually okay to be at the end of yourself. Because Romans 8 in the Message version steps in, and this is what it says. When you are at the end of yourself with weariness, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. That is beautiful. Aching groans. Makes me feel like I want to go to that back couch, curl up in the fetal position and not move. Does anyone get that sense? Aching groans. I wonder if we've ever experienced aching groans. The meaning in the dictionary of groan is to voice a deep, inarticulate sound as of pain, as of grief, as of displeasure. And the other meaning is to strive earnestly. And I cannot help but think of tennis players who are making those horrible grunts and groans as they reach for those balls that are too wide. You know, that earnestly, I've got to get this. I've got to get this. And this morning, I think some of us might need to hear, and myself included, that it is actually okay to reach the end of yourself. I think some of us as Christians believe the lie that we need to be the ones who hold it all together. Because if we don't, what will people think of us? What will people think of our God? I can do this. I can present my happy front. Everything is okay. But this morning, these verses give us the freedom to say, I'm at the end of my reasoning. I'm at the end of my understanding. I'm at the end of my ability. I'm at the end of my strength. And the beauty in these verses is that there is no shame. And Romans 8 starts with that beautiful fact that there is no condemnation when we're in Christ Jesus. It is okay to be at the end of yourself. And this is what happens when we're at the end of ourselves. Our weakness should drive us towards God and should drive us towards prayer if the Holy Spirit is living with our hearts. That is where we should end up. And when this happens, we see this most beautiful, and I want you to feel the beauty of this most beautiful act of kindness and generosity and hope that the Father gives us. Romans 8 says, and he who searches the hearts of men, that's God, knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints, that's us, according to and in harmony with God's will. There is a lot of comfort in that verse. And I hope that you feel that comfort this morning. We need to hear that comfort. This is an important verse. So we have God, who this character from the beginning, who is the most unimaginable, unsearchable, most pure, most perfect being that we could ever possibly imagine. And it says in that verse there that he actually understands our hearts. He searches it. Me, on this end, who is so evil, who is so flawed, who is so weak. He takes the time to search my heart and to know it. That is unbelievable. And instead of looking at me and going, well, Joanne Crute, I'm really sorry, but you are stuck in this life. I'm sorry, but there is no hope for you. You will never, ever, ever reach who I am. Instead of that, he looks upon me with compassion and says, this is what I've done for you. I've given you the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, to live within you and to help you and to help you. So with all sincerity, I have to say that this is actually a starring moment for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? If we go back to our thinking of a play, this is a starring moment for the Holy Spirit. And I do say that sincerely. We have to understand that the Spirit is all holy. He is all holy. He has the full knowledge of everything of his Father, our Father. He has the full knowledge of everything God. He knows God's perfect plans. He knows God's mind. He has full harmony with God. But he is full holy, but he is full Spirit. And this is what enables him to come and live within our hearts. When we're at the end of hope, holy hope takes over. And this takes over in our weakness. I wonder what some of our groanings could look like. I mean, maybe when you hear about groanings and being up in the back corner, fetal position, maybe you can think of something in your own life, a time when you have been at the end of yourself and you've been groaning. This is what I think of when I think of groaning. I think of groaning as this absolute tension between different things. Let's take physical illness, for example. Oh God, I know you can heal me. I'm suffering badly. You are the healer. You have said that you heal people, Lord. Oh, heal me, Father. But if you don't heal me, Father, guide me to the right treatments. Give me the right medical help. Oh God, I'm groaning. I need your help in this. And then we have that horrible niggling voice inside as well that says, oh, maybe my groaning should be that I actually grow in endurance, that I grow in patience. I can't even explain it anymore, but to me that just feels like an ultimate groan. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, Lord. Maybe our groanings, we've had them for people we love. Someone we love is tormented and we know that they need God. God, you are the only one who can stop people in their tracks and can show them the better way to live. Oh, Lord, I've got no power in that, but maybe I need to grow in my love and maybe I need to be the hands that are around this person. Lord, what do I do? Father, this is beyond me. Groan. Then John Piper, who's one of the amazing minds of this age, I think, in terms of theology, he says, look, if you're not groaning for anything personally like that, there is something to groan about in our culture. You look at some of the big decisions that are being made now, some of the things that we are facing in this day and age. He says if we as Christians are not looking at some of these issues and going, I don't know, Lord, what does your word say? How do I gel that with love? How do I embrace people? How do I work out all this tolerance and acceptance? What do I do, Lord? Groan. And he says that if we're not groaning for those things, maybe we're walking around with eyes shut. So I think that there are things to groan about. The scripture tells us that there will be times when we will groan. Now I have this overactive imagination that has gotten me into a little bit of trouble. Ali D, stop giggling. But I can think things to the point where I will struggle to realise what is reality and what is just my imagination here. Sometimes I will wake up from a dream and say to Brendan, like, if I could just have that printed out, this would be the most amazing thriller novel that anybody has ever read. This is what my mind goes through in the night. And then when I bring it to the day, sometimes I lose a sense of what really happened here. But I want to take you on a bit of a journey of imagination. Now, these are the hardcore facts of what did happen. You can trust me in this. Layla and I were at an ice skating party. And we were packing up our skates and the speed skaters were doing their show-off lap at the end and we were standing there watching them going, wow, aren't they amazing? And one of the speed skaters lost control. Briallen, you might want to plug the ears. But I started flying up and you could tell he was going into a skid and the next minute we heard this amazing collision and he had come and collided with the barrier. Now later and I sort of like trying to look and, oh, what's happened here? You know, is everything going to be okay? Now the reality is he did get up with the help of his friends, and he limped off the rink and his tracksuit pants were shredded, but he was okay. Now, driving home, let me just have a drink. Driving home, knowing that I've had these thoughts about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, my imagination just went wild. So come with me. We are no longer at Mirrabooka Ice Rink. We are now in the remote Pilbara, and there is nothing much else to do, but we have this nice cold ice rink because it's really hot in the Pilbara, and we're all there Sunday afternoon. We're having a lovely time. About to pack up and go home. Same scenario. The speed skaters start to do their amazing, you know, show off laps, and we're all going, ah, oh, this is amazing. And sure enough, one loses control. And there is that sickly crash. But the difference this time is that there is no movement, there is no limping, there is nothing until we start to hear some deep groaning. Oh, help me. Oh. And then we see that the ice has turned pinkish and we realise that this is not a good situation here. Luckily, one of us has thought very clearly and has made the phone call to the emergency setup in the Pilbara. Now, you don't have a lot of options up there, so we get the paramedic who comes on site. But we know that this paramedic is so skilled, because you can only be highly skilled to get a job in those positions. So this is a highly skilled paramedic who is called to the scene. What does he do? First thing he does is he is down there with the skater. He looks at the wounds, he sees the blood, he's hearing the pains, he's hearing the groans from the skater. The first thing he does is he offers comfort. He gives medication that is available for him to give to just take off that high intensity of pain. Then he wraps the bandages around the bleeding site to stem the blood flow. Then he very lovingly and carefully covers him with a thermal blanket to keep him warm. He is highly skilled, this paramedic. He knew exactly what to do, and he could see that this skater could not do this on his own. The skater was not going, it's all good, I'm fine, stay where I can manage this. No, this skater was groaning in pain and knew that he needed help. The next thing that the paramedic does, of course, he phones the ice skating injury emergency specialist in Perth, because we know that there is one just waiting at the other end of the line. And this ice skating emergency specialist, he knows everything there is to know about ice skating situations. He has seen this injury before. He has the full knowledge of what needs to happen to the skater from here on the ice rink to full health and back skating again. He knows every part in the process of his treatment and his getting better process. He knows it. And the paramedic says to the specialist, this is what's happened. This is the pain. I need you to hear that this is the pain that the skater is in. This is his situation. I just want to confirm with you what is the plan from here. And they have a communication and go, yes, that is the best plan from here. And the paramedic goes back and puts into place the processes that need to happen. And what's the skater doing? Submitting to the knowledge and the experience of the paramedic and the specialist. I can't do this. All I can do is lay here and groan. Now, this is a flawed example. Let's not pick it apart too much. But let's just understand this is a concept of how the Holy Spirit intercesses on our behalf to the Father. Who knows who the Holy Spirit is in that? Karina, tell me that you got it. It was the paramedic. Yay, we've got it. Great, okay. So let's just understand how this applies to us. We have needs that are beyond ourselves. We've talked about some of those needs. We have them. Our minds are limited. We heard that from the beginning. Our hearts are deceptive. We can only pray according to our limited knowledge and our own motivation. But this is an important part of this story. We are actually motivated to live according to God's will and his plan. This is actually an essential part. We need to get this. Just like the skater who did not want to stay lying in the skidded, bloody mess, he was motivated to get beyond this. He was motivated to receive help. And this is an important part for us. And when we get to that point, that's when we start to groan, and that's when the Holy Spirit takes over. And then the Holy Spirit, who is our ever-present help in time of need, he understands our human condition. He understands our weakness. He understands our limitation. But he also knows the mind of God. He knows everything about the Father's perfect will. Then he puts into action the will of the faithful and the just Father, and he does it with all compassion and all comfort. What a beautiful interaction for us, for me, for you. What an amazing interaction. I wonder, now that we've talked about this interaction, does it change the way we pray? Does it change the way we come to Father God? As I was thinking about some of these scriptures, there were a few things that we need, a few realities that we need to talk about. And I'm calling these my little squirm moments, because as I wrote them, it just made me go, oh, don't like that so much. It's not that nice. But I'm going to give it to us anyway. Squirm moment number one. If you can think of a better name for next time, please let me know. But that's all I could come up with. Squirm moment number one. The result of the Holy Spirit's intercession, talking on our behalf, knowing our pain, meshing with the plan of God, may have a different ending to what we had planned. Get that? The result of the Holy Spirit meshing with God's plan, then putting it in our life, may end differently to what we had expected or hoped. And here's another little kicker. It may not happen in the time frame that we think is reasonable. We may not see the outworking of this interaction in a time frame that we think is reasonable. Joyce Myers has this quirky little comment that God is rarely early, but he is never ever too late. So our reality might be that when we come to God and go, I'm groaning before you, God, I actually want a change, I'm groaning here, I don't know where to go, I'm desperate for your help. As we do that, we have the assurance that that is when the Holy Spirit takes over for us. But we may not be physically healed like we had planned. We may not be free of financial struggles like we'd hoped. We may not be living the successful life that the world looks upon now, going, look at me, I've got God in my life, this is what he's done. And we may not be free from hardship. And we know that this is true because the author of Romans himself had this exact same experience. He had something that was tormenting him. We don't know exactly what it was, and I didn't do a lot of research on that, I must say, but it's often called the thorn in his side or the thorn in his flesh, something that was making his life difficult, and he cried out and pleaded to God on numerous occasions, please take this away from me. This is not doing me any good. Take it away from me. I need you to take this from me. And what was the answer that Paul received in his heart? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And that rested on him like a warm blanket. He rested in that and he continued on. This is the two guarantees that we do have, and there are more, but these are two. In the very next verse, after we hear this amazing interaction between the Holy Spirit and God on our behalf, the very next verse gives us this guarantee. We are assured and we know that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. That verse is telling us we need to rest in God's goodness. That is what we rest in. Remember, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We don't understand, but we need to rest in his goodness. And then we rest in the fact that God is fitting all things into a plan and purpose for you, for me. He has a plan. It is not out of control. He is working it into a plan. And then in Galatians, we see what happens when the Holy Spirit is at work. And what do we know? The fruit of the Spirit, the work which is his presence within, this is what it accomplishes. It accomplishes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These might not be the things that we thought were going to be in our grand end plan, but we know that when the Holy Spirit is at work, this is what will be accomplished, and we need to rest in that. I have my own reality of this. For 7 years, I have groaned about an anxiety condition that came upon me without warning, without any desire to have it there. I have asked God on many occasions and said to him, this is of no use to me. This is hindering what my life can look like. This has brought me pain. This has had me on my bed in fetal positions going, I cannot do this anymore. Why won't you take this off me? 7 years. Can I stand up here today and go 7 years and it's gone? No. What can I tell you? That God is good. How do I know that God is good? Because what have been some tangible outcomes? I've been directed to wonderful people with skills who have been able to help me. I now have more skills and empathy for people going through some mental anxieties. And I can honestly and humbly say this morning that I wouldn't be standing here if I had not gone through 7 years. Do I understand it? No. Do I understand God's ways? No. Do I understand and rest in his goodness? Absolutely. Absolutely. Square moment number two. For the Holy Spirit's intercession to have its full power in our lives, we need to surrender ourselves. This ties into number one. They all tie into together. We need to surrender ourselves. What do we need to hand over to God? Our human reasoning, our control of situations, our selfish planning, our arrogant requests that we make to God, saying, this is what I think needs to happen, God. John Piper makes this comment, and do hear this. He says, we take our free will, which has been given to us by God, we take our free will to an all-sovereign God. This is what we're doing when we come to prayer. We take our free will, think about this, free will, he has given it to us, and we take it to an all-sovereign God. And prayer is that his will overcome our will and make us completely his. When we're coming to prayer, this is how we should approach prayer. I am coming to you, Lord, with my free will. Overcome my free will. Give me your will. Make me completely yours, Lord. Make me completely yours. And as we do this, we have an amazing concept that comes out of Proverbs 16. As we commit and trust the Lord with our works, with our hearts, he will cause your thoughts to be agreeable with his will. That is an act of the Holy Spirit. We will actually start thinking ideas and making plans that are actually from the heart of God. Maybe some of our prayers need to be more prayers of surrender. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, search me. Know my ways. Last square moment. The Holy Spirit in all of this is our helper. He will not intervene when we are trying, underline trying, to be self-sufficient. And Pete touched on this right at the beginning. He waits to be invited. He will not take over and go, Don needs help, I'm going to rush in there and take over, unless Don has come and said, I invite you, Holy Spirit. Do with me what you will, Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He steps in to our desire to live according to God's will. He steps in when we are wanting to pray, but we don't know how to pray because it's gotten beyond us. We don't know how. Beth Moore, an author, Bible teacher, puts it quite bluntly in her devotional book, saying that the Holy Spirit does not take over when we're too tired, does not take over when we're too lazy, does not take over when we're too busy, does not take over when we're too arrogant to trust in God. He will only be invited, and the invitation often comes from a heart that is desiring God's will, doesn't it? And then she goes on and has this beautiful statement, Beth Moore. She says, perhaps this is one of life's finest moments for the believer, when the will of the Father and the will of the child converge as one, thank you Holy Spirit, and then the cloudy pillar of God's glory settles on her shoulders like a down comforter, and just for a moment, heaven comes to earth. God's glory resting on us in comfort. So we've come to the end. Hopefully we've got some more understanding about another way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Maybe today, maybe this gives you greater hope. Maybe there is hope. And the hope is, and I want you to know this, that there is never a time when the end of yourself has to be the end. There is never a time when the end of yourself has to be the end. God has given us the provision of a comforter, someone to carry us when we cannot keep going. There is never a time when the end has to be the end. Maybe there is comfort in this message as well, that there is nothing too much for the Holy Spirit to bear. There is nothing you cannot feel. There is nothing you cannot say to the Holy Spirit that he cannot bear. Humans, yes, you might come across people who cannot bear what you have to say because we are weak. But the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that he cannot bear. There is great comfort in that, isn't there? Great comfort. And maybe for some of us, we get peace, knowing that if we do step out and start trusting God more, putting our lives in his hands, we can rest in the peace that he is all good. We've got no one greater to rest in. There is nothing beyond God to rest in. So we're going to sing a song now, and we've had a nice time sharing together, and I just want to remind us that here at Encounter Church, this is a place where we can find human comfort as well. So if there's something going on in your heart today that you just like, I just need to come before God, I'm at the end of myself, I just need to know that the Holy Spirit's going to take over. We have the confidence because it's written in the scripture. If you need a friend to stand with you, to hold you in your groaning, to just be a comfort, physical comfort. This is what it is. This is what we come to church for as well, isn't it? To encourage one another to go, you know what? We can do this. We can do this. And we can do this together. So as we've done in the last few weeks, if there is something on your heart that you just need someone to stand with you, you are always welcome to come. And someone who knows you and loves you will stand with you. That is a guarantee. Thanks, Larissa.